I'm going to, before we get to that, remember, not the slide with the thing yet. I'm going to talk about a balanced diet. Now, just for starters. I'm not preaching about what you're eating and whatnot. But I'm just starting there. For all of us to have a healthy life, we should have a balanced diet. Is that right? Okay, now, I'm not going to show you the first slide, but of the following food groups, saturated fat, now everybody's confused. The pastor's talking about food. Protein, unsaturated fat, carbohydrates, fruit, and vegetables. Now, if I mention those, how many percent do you think should carbohydrates be? Carbohydrates, what's that? It's bread, pasta, potatoes, cookies, rice. How much percent? Balanced diet. Come on. 50%. Now, yes, net rice. So he says 50. A balanced diet, okay? But balanced, yes. 25%. I've got 25. 10%, that's closer. They say 5%. But I guess they don't know how Namibia looks like. It's not so easy to get all that stuff here, you know? Okay, how many percent of those two fats combined, saturated and unsaturated fat? Let's combine them. How many percent is a balanced diet? Remember, all those carb choppies you're eating, it's got lots of fat in. I'm going to a sheep farm this week. Yes, it's only this guy that answers. Yes. Who? How much? 2%. No, it's 20%. Sorry. So you can have 20% of fat. How many percent protein? That's not all your meat, your eggs, your cheese. That's all the stuff we eat. How many percent? Speaking like a true Namibian. No, it's only 35%. Fruit and veggies combined? How will I ever get this right? Fruit and veggies combined per day. 3%. No, it is combined 45%. How do you do that? I don't know. But okay, this is maybe for people coming from Europe or something, not Namibians. I think ours would look a bit different. But anyway, to be healthy, naturally, you need a healthy, balanced diet. Is that right? But obviously, I'm not going to talk about that. To be healthy spiritually, one needs a healthy diet, spiritual diet. Is that right? Before I get to that, we as a youth group, we're going to have an outreach at the Namib High School. When is it again? This guy again. What's your name? Quentin. I was like, Quentin. 11th, we're having an outreach at the Namib High School Sunday morning. We're having a youth service there, right? We're going to have some testimonies. I can't remember who's going to give the testimony. Probably you again. And that guy. Anyway, but spiritually, we need a balanced diet. And I'm talking about it because I don't think we have one. I think I've spotted something we're missing. That's why I'm talking this morning. And the next slide there is, do you know, if you have a compass, you know, a compass, it points north. Where does that thing point to? Do you know where is it? North. On Earth. Where? What? That side? Yes, okay, that side, but where is it pointing to? No, it's not the North Pole, it's the magnetic north. It's pointing 17 degrees in the wrong direction. Because where will your compass indicate if you stand at... Okay, let me explain. The magnetic north is there somewhere in Canada there at the top. It is not the true north. It is very north. So if you have a compass in Namibia and you're going north, you're following your compass, you'll get to your destination. But if you are in Canada there at the magnetic north, where will the north point point to? If you stand there, where will it point? Huh? If you turn the compass like this, it will point downwards because it's on the magnetic north. So you will not be able to get to the North Pole. Because you will be confused there. Okay. Shall I meet me? That's all right. It's a bit mathematics. But spiritually, we need to stay on the true north. But every now and then in our lives, or probably most of the time, we are a few degrees off. We're not exactly there. And that is not God's plan for us to be off at all. He wants us to reach what He's called us for. And I'm going to talk about that. So a balanced diet spiritually, I think, can be summarized in this first scripture. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Oh, I'm on the Afrikaans notes. Just give me a second. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. He speaks about the fivefold ministry. And I believe we'll have a balanced diet if we have input, constant input, and varied, spaced out, frequent input from all five of those, and not only from a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or a prophet. But what I do think, and that's what I'm speaking, I think that I'm also an evangelist, but a key ingredient of an evangelist is that it helps us to maintain true north. It helps us to not lose focus of why are we here? What are we doing? Are we doing the right things? Because teachers, I'm not saying teachers can, but you can have some weird teaching sometimes. You can have some very weird prophetic words that are not prophetic at all. But evangelists, by their nature, they don't really lose it. They don't go cuckoo somewhere along the line because they might not be so spiritual or whatever, but they know what it's about. They know why we sit here, why we do what we do here. So that's the next slide I want to ask you, and it's, maybe I'll ask some more people again to talk. But why are you here this morning? And the next question is, where did you come from to get here? Now, if I say where, don't tell me you came from home to get here. I'm not talking about where and here, as in the positions, your chair. I'm talking from what state, situation in your life that you come, you with me, to be here. So why, can somebody here tell me why you are here, if you're willing to answer? Nobody. Is it so intimidating? Anybody? Why are you here? Yes. Enoch. Yes, to listen to the Word of God. Why do you want to listen to the Word of God? I'm gonna ask you more questions. Why do you want to listen to the Word of God? Strong faith to walk with God. Why do you want to walk with God? No, sir? And why do you want to fulfill your purpose? Sorry? To build up, but why do you want to build your foundation in God? Strong, why do you want to, but you can be strong with, or can you be strong without God? Okay, let's answer the other question. If everybody's confused now, that's great. And where did some of you come from? What was your life before God like? Does anybody want to answer that one? Like I asked somebody specifically in the Afrikaans service. I won't do that again. No, it was a great answer from Bernard. What was your life like before God? Meaningless? No direction? No hope? I mean, we're getting there. I think we should ask ourselves that question every now and then. Why are we here? Why are we doing it? And if I can read some scriptures that might help us in that direction, is Acts 2 verse 21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many of us, you can ask testimonies, But you had this thing in your life, this experience in your life, where you realized that without God, you are empty, some people would say. You were without direction, and you called upon God's name, and He saved you. What does it mean He saved you? He took you out of those circumstances, and He gave you new hope, new life, peace. But what I'm trying to say today, this morning, is we sometimes lose track of why we are here. We get bogged down with all kinds of peripheral issues. That means issues here on the sideline. So now I'm angry with God because He's not helping me to sell my house, and I'm not don't have my bigger house, and that's the only thing I can think about. But I've missed it. I've missed true north is that if I remember correctly, remember backwards to what God pulled me out of in many of our lives. Some people don't get saved from such terrible situations, but there's nothing wrong with that. But we miss the point sometimes. Jesus Christ did not die for me so that I can have financial blessings. He died for me so that I don't have to go to hell, so that I don't have to go and burn in hell. It's terrible, but I mean, there's no easy way of talking about hell in Scripture. Jesus says people, many people die and they go to hell and they will suffer for eternity. But Jesus saved us. That's why I'm here. But sometimes that's not why I'm here. Because I think, but why am I here? No, it's actually, that's what I do on Sundays, isn't it? Shouldn't be like that. It's fine to have a good routine in life and etc. But that's not why I'm here. Amen. Are you guys with me? Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This was my experience, and I know it's the experience for a lot of you, is that Christ saved me while I'm still a sinner. He plucked me out of that terrible, meaningless whole. And He didn't ask me to change when He came into my life. He didn't ask me to stop drinking or stop this. He came and He pushed those things aside while I'm still a sinner. And He said, phew, I want you. You're mine. We'll talk about the sin later, but I want you. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here today. That's true north. That's the origin. That must be the foundation of true north. Are you with me? Are you catching what I'm saying? And that's what an evangelist does, I guess. They help us just to... And I was terribly convicted. I need to page between my Afrikaans and English notes. But I was terribly convicted. Well, it happens quite often nowadays. But just about how occupied I can get with things, I mean spiritual things that are not really have to do anything with this, the crux of the matter, and how unthankful I can be. And then I was just reminded, I just had like a moment where I could just be again think of where I come from, what God took me out of. And then you know what? All those other issues, I still have them. But I'm not so worried about them anymore. I'm not so unthankful anymore. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for being able to say that I can go to heaven. Jesus Christ has chosen me almost. Why me? Not because I'm great. Not because I'm fantastic and read the word every day and pray every day. That's why I have Jesus. No. It's just because somehow He said grace on you, Theo. And that grace is there for all of us. Okay, let me go on. So how do we ensure that God, every now and then in our lives, or maybe now, that's what I'm preaching, is that God helps us to just get back to this true north. And this is not a book that I read and that I can tell you these are the only five steps or the, I don't know, these are just a couple of things I want to highlight. The first one is Psalm 51 verse 12. And it reads, restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. It's tough words, these, I think. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. I remember, I think it was the first mission trip I went on. Maybe the second one. I don't know. was years ago. I read a book especially about this, The Joy of My Salvation. The Joy of My Salvation. And the whole book was obviously, you know, that when we just get saved, when we just experience that God rescues us from that area, that thing in our lives or whatever, then we have such joy. We're overwhelmed by it. It controls everything. It directs everything in our lives. And I had that on that, not luckily, not only on that mission trip, but in such abundance. I was just so, yeah. Whew. 10 years later, bastard, no. But God wants to restore the joy of our salvation. He wants to take you back to those. He just wants to bring you back to that where you can understand and be thankful about those things again. Are you with me? The second thing is, we miss and we forget. What did I write here? We sometimes lose our joy and our peace in God because we either do not know the price that was paid by Christ, or we can't remember it. We forgot about the price that He paid. But it's either one or two of these things. We're not at that point where we've been confronted by our sinful nature, and then a loving and forgiving God comes to you and He says, yes, my gift, I give it to you. We forget that precious gift that was given to us. We lose track of it. And it's easy to lose that track of that when you're a Christian for 15 years. Because, I mean, I'm saved. Get over it. But if that joy, if that preciousness, that understanding of how precious it is gets lost, we go to magnetic north. And it influences the rest of your spiritual walk if you don't live with this thankfulness. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 20. Knowing that you were ransomed, bought, paid for from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Verse 18 there it says, and these are some of the things we have to answer if somebody asks us, why are you here? Ransomed. I've been paid for. Christ paid for my sins. And then with what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not just somebody that endured a little bit of suffering for an hour or something. And I just want to explain this again. I always do this. I still think that the most significant thing of the death of Christ was not so much, hopefully, I don't get too many questions on this, but yes, it was a terrible natural experience for God. Terrible pain that He had to go through, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. But you know what I think what was worse? Is that moment when Christ cried out on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because He was emotionally, call it whatever you want, God withdrew from Jesus Christ. He left Him. And now we have to understand that Jesus Christ had the most intimate, perfect relationship with God. He understood the love of Christ, and for 3 days, He had to go without it. And He couldn't understand it, and God didn't answer Him. But He did that so that you and I can have it. At that moment when He cried out, it's not like, He's like, God, why did you forsake me? Why are you leaving me? I knew I said yes to this crucifixion thing, but where are you now? No, I need to. That's precious. The Son of God had to go through that. The Son of God had to be rejected for us. And as Namibians, well, we're just like one of those other countries. We have 500 or 1,000 times about Jesus died, Jesus died. It's like, whatever, man. Let me just watch my rugby. You know? But we forget about this preciousness about Jesus Christ. I don't care if I repeat this too much and you get bored. I need to repeat it. I need to repeat it. I haven't been bought by some sissy God. I was bought by the God that died for me. It's precious. I need to offer up my life for it and stop complaining about the peripheral issues in my life. I have to. We have to. I preach the same. That's why you can be glad I don't preach every Sunday, because you hear the same story from me. That's why it's good that Yaku repeats. He doesn't always preach because he's the same way in another area. It's good for us to hear the different things. But I'm just going to preach the same thing over and over. The third thing I want to say is, how do we get back to this magnetic north? Now, I think it flows out of this first thing, that Jesus needs to touch you. He can touch you here. He can touch you at home, where you seek his face, where you just have intimacy with God, and he just reveals this, the what he's done for you and how precious it was. And what flows out of that, I believe, is the freedom in Christ that we're supposed to have. Now, let me give you some background of my life. Is that I came from a religious home with fantastic parents that were in a... Oh, please don't fight with me afterwards. But from a religious church, but they were really Christians. So I've never said that my parents do not know Christ. I know my father that passed away is in heaven because he was a godly man. But I grew up in that environment, not necessarily in my home, because I remember still the one day I was throwing a tantrum. I didn't want to go to church. And I thought about it this morning. It's one of those defining moments in my life. There were a couple of my father that I can just not get out of my head. And he came to me and he said, listen, we don't force you to go to church. You can decide. I'm like, okay. That was the first time I was confronted with, we're not forcing you to do this. We're going because we want to. What do you want to do? So I had to think. I don't know if I went. What was my story? I forgot. I was talking about my dad. Why? Where am I? Where? Freedom. And I remember Christ freed me from this religious, traditional stuff. Galatians 5 verse 1. Christ has set us free. From freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, this is exactly what I experienced when I came to Christ. The freedom in Christ, not all these rules and regulations and you have to do it this way and you have to go through Sonntag school and all that stuff. I was freed from it. Free! And I still remember going to some of my first small group in Stellenbosch. I was just so happy with all these cool Christians. They served and everything, but there was freedom. But now this scripture says, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What I want to tell you as a revelation, that spirit-filled Christians can become like that again. And we do sometimes become like that again. We do spiritual things so routinely, so the same, that it becomes the same again. And I've always had an aversion to that because of my history. So the moment I see things that become mechanical, I just want to run away. Because I know when I got saved, I didn't get saved by a mechanical God. I became saved by a God that is flesh and bone, that understands and has emotions. But I want to challenge you, and this is, I pick it up. We become very routinely in our ways, in our walks with God. I said it in the first service. You know, if I had a relationship like that with my wife, and we just do everything the same Friday night when we get, when it's romantic time, we go to the Spur, and that's it. That's the only romance in our life. Is it romantic to go to Spur? No. What is romantic? Come on, help me. Come on, just married people. Dennis, walk on the beach with, okay, all right, what else? Candlelight with the dogs. Candlelight dinner, okay, all right. Anyway. You see, that's a relationship. Your relationship with your wife will die if it's the same. That's a little bit of a wake-up call for me. But now, we want to do that with Jesus Christ. We want to do that with God. It's like only like this way. We forget this. We lose this freedom. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Bring back the freedom. Let's make a banner. Bring back the freedom. We're going to walk in the main Hoofstraat. So, okay, just a practical example. I pick it up in our small groups. We're a bit stale. When was the last time? Sorry, please, I'm not like asking. But when was the last time we did something different in small group because the small group leader or somebody else heard something from God and God said we must do this? When was the last time we did that? That's why I'm saying we're becoming a bit stale. Okay, let me explain. When a church becomes big and it grows and expands, it's actually a terrible thing that happens because now you can't, you know, you don't only have two cell groups anymore. So if something goes wrong in Pity's small group, you can just phone him. I mean, it's only two people. If you become bigger, the only thing way to manage things, unfortunately, is to put in some, I don't want to say rules, but some guidelines. Do it like this, please. Do it like this. Do small group like that. Worship like this. So many songs. But the problem is, it is guidelines. It is something to steer you, but it shouldn't take away you hearing the Holy Spirit talking to you. If you call me to your, if I have to sit in, but I'm going to say this without feeling terrible about it. But if I have to sit for 20 weeks, go to a small group, and all we do is sit there and ask five questions on the previous Sunday sermon, I'm not coming back. Because it's boring. It's a guideline. It's a guideline. Now, oh my word, hopefully not everybody does some weird and wacky thing now on Wednesday and then Jaco comes back to me and like, Tio, what did you do? It's not. It's not. But just hear from the Holy Spirit. He gave you that freedom. I want to say spontaneous, but that's almost not the right word. It's not about being spontaneous. It's about just hearing God and His voice. Let me confess to you. Let me just give you examples out of my own life of how disobedient I am. Last year, I heard, believe God told me we must have an outreach in SSS. Now, I'm not saying when I heard from God, I heard three angels talking to me at the same time and confirming it with miracles. It's just I felt I should do it. Last year, we're in almost August and we haven't done it because of me. Now we're doing it in August. Why does it take me 8 months to be obedient? Another thing I felt in the beginning of the year, we must go and pray. They're close to my house. I just felt, I must pray there. It took me 6 months to be obedient to that. I did it this week with the youth. Praise God, it was so fantastic. We did it with the Stefanos' group. Some of those kids, or the one guy there, I don't know how long he's been in church. Not long. But we just did it, and I said, okay, now we're going to pray and hear from God. And now I'm hoping. I hope I heard right from God. I hope something happens now. So we pray, and then all of them start sharing the things that I have on my heart. So we know God is there. Now, I don't need to teach that guy again that God does speak to you. Because he saw it manifest in front of him, but not in the house. Okay, we must have most of our small groups in a house, but not by going through a routine. By hearing what God says, and I'm not praising myself here. I'm just thankful that I was obedient. Amen. I want to challenge you. Get excited about your relationship with Christ that is alive. Hear from Him. Many times people come to me and I've got a very good answer to keep everybody quiet very quickly. Is that, oh, I'm frustrated. I don't know where I'm going with God. And then I just say, what was the last thing He told you to do? No, not Yaku. Oh, I told you. What was the last thing He told you to do? Did He do it? No. Well, okay, just go back and do it. Because then you start cultivating a relationship where I hear what He says, I do what He says, I hear what He says, I do what He says. Not just here like robots listening to a pastor. Freedom! I was saved and I got freedom. I want to get it back. Romans 8 verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Scripture equates the law to death. And now we know as spiritual Christians, yes, we don't read the Ten Commandments anymore. So we know that aspect of that is dead. But we can become so spiritually dead as well. We do the right things. We sing like this. But I can tell you, some people sing like this, and there's nothing going on in the engine room. But this is how you grew up to sing. But you can sing like this, and there's a lot happening because you've got intimacy with Him. He's doing something in your life. Are you with me? Amen. Lekker. Mark 7 verse 8. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. Ooh, where's my next scripture? I lost verse 13. Anyway, this part of scripture just talks about the washing. I deleted verse 7 there. But about, he was talking about the people being very traditional. They wash their hands. They tithe of their little soap. Salt. They tithe the tenth of their salt. And they're saying, you're making Christ dead with this stuff. You're making your relationship with God dead. You're making it void. You're removing all the power from it. Let's not do that, please. Amen. Let's not do that. True north, true north. Let Christ pull us back again to what He wants us to be, what He wants us to experience. And the fourth, well, that's not the last thing. But I believe if all these things happen, and obviously all of these true north issues, relationship with God starts from an intimacy, seeking His face. But I believe He restores your joy. I believe He gives you back. You have a sense of the precious gift that you have again. You have freedom in Christ again. And then what automatically happens from that is the stuff that we sometimes try and motivate the church into is, please attend this. Please come and do this. Please help us there. That stops when the Holy Spirit takes over. That's when the Holy Spirit takes over and He compels you. As Scripture says, where are those Scriptures? Firstly, Isaiah 61 verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I think other translation says, I hate injustice. That's when the Holy Spirit takes over your life, and you start seeing the injustice in life, and you start hating it, as Christ hates it. Because that is His heartbeat. That is true north. It's not about how many conferences we have, or how many programs we have, or the five songs that we sing every Sunday morning. It's not about that. It's about hating what goes on in the world out there. Starting to have the same heartbeat as Jesus Christ. We start hating injustice. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. In the Amplified Bible it says, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. The love of Christ controls and urges and compels us. Then it's not about... Okay, let me get to that. I want to tell you another conviction. No, confession. The other day my wife was telling me about somebody, a lady, that I see every day. Every week I see this lady. She's not in church. I'm not going to tell you who it is. And she tells me she somewhere heard about her background and what she's gone through, the terrible pain that she's gone through. And I was quite sad after I heard that. Not because of because of the pain and how we want to pray for her and stuff like that. But I was sad that I didn't pick that up in the spirit without somebody telling me. Why am I saying that? Because I remember when I just got saved and was so passionate about God and that freedom of hearing the Holy Spirit, I would pick up people's pain without knowing what happened to them. Not always, but sometimes. I still remember, and I, man, I walked into a lift one day, and there was one lady in the lift. And when I walked in there, I just saw this dark, you know, in my spirit, this black darkness. And I thought, Lord, what now? But I need to talk to this lady. There's something wrong in her life. And then I cornered her or something, and I said, you know, this is what God is showing me in your life. And then the wind breaks down because what I said was true. But did somebody have to tell me about her pain? No. Who told me? The Holy Spirit. So I was sad that I don't have that spiritual antenna anymore. And it's maybe it won't happen always. But you know how powerful it is if you don't know anybody and nobody has given you any background on somebody and you walk into life, their lives, and you say, I feel God's telling me this about you. You went through this in your life. Can I just pray for you? Do you know what? You walk away there. If they come to church and get saved, I don't know. But they know a God exists. They know He exists. They can go stay on the New Age tantrum for a while. But they'll know there's something about those people that pull me. There's truth that I experience then. I cannot deny it. Even though my spirit, my flesh doesn't want to submit under the will of God, there's something there that I don't have here at the New Age Church or at this place or, you know. That stuff happens too little in our lives nowadays. I'm urging you, asking you, seek God that He'll pull you back to true north, so that we can start walking in the Spirit and pick up these things again. Does it make sense? So that the love of Christ controls and compels us to do these things. That I don't have to hear from my wife again, you know, on the history of this woman. That's fine to hear it like that, but just to be open. Why didn't I pick that up in my spirit when I see the woman every week? Why? What's wrong with me? That's not how Jesus works. And I don't want to sound condemning or anything, but there is a life. There is blessings to walk in. There's an intimacy that we can walk in with Christ. That's powerful. I said it in the first service. You guys went here. You guys are a challenge, the youth. And I just tell you, you challenge me. But it's good. Because if you come to church or to small to youth because you want entertainment, you've come to the wrong place. Because I'm not the entertainment guy. I'm not Gees Bouwer. You remember Gees Bouwer? So the only thing that will keep these people in our youth is if they have every now and then an experience with the power of God, something that they cannot deny that is there. If I don't give that to them, I can expect them to leave. Because then they can find the entertainment at the club. There's a new club here in town, I hear. Fancy club, I hear. Well, how do you know? They can find entertainment there, because I'm not an entertainer. But if I, not me, but if we can give them the power of God, that thing that they cannot deny, that power, that freedom, that life, then they'll come back, even though I'm boring. But they know that God is alive. Amen. Where am I? Almost finished. Another thing that happens to us. Are you guys with me? Do you want to have true north in your life? Do you want to have that system, something in your life that constantly pulls you to the real place so that we can stop being frustrated about little things in our lives and see the bigger picture? Yes, I want it. Mark 6, verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I'm almost finished. When we have the heart of God, when we get close to God, this is also what happens to us. We just can't handle it when we see people are without direction. That's what I started off. I think I started off with that is, and what I want to end off with is, we know that we're on the right track if we have a constant need to give other people what we have in Christ. In other words, if we have a desire to reach out, I almost don't want to use that word, because some people think reaching out means you have to preach with a mic some way. No, I don't know what it means. It just means you want to give other people what you have. But it, You can't give what you have if you don't think what you have is precious. And God wants to pull us back to that. Can we stand? First Corinthians 9:22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Paul was an Afrikaans, you could call it a draadsitter. He sat on the fence many times. But just when he could relate to somebody because he's a Jew or a Greek or a something, he related to him. He changed a little bit to talk that guy's language. Why? So that he could save some of them. That he could bring some of them to the knowledge of Christ. So the end of this whole sermon is, I believe we've got a bit of an unbalanced spiritual fruit in our lives, let me call it that. And that is that we've lost this a little bit. We've lost it. But Christ wants to bring it back, and he's not angry with us. He doesn't sound like I sound now. He's not angry with us. He wants to bless you with pulling your magnetic north true. In Jesus' name. Can we just bow our heads? I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray for three groups of people. So you have to hear me here. First group of people, I'm not going to call you forward, but it's Christians here. And you just want to acknowledge this morning that what I've been preaching applies to you, and you want Christ to pull you from magnetic north to true north. Whatever it means, if it means bringing back the joy of your salvation, if it means bringing the freedom back in your relationship with Christ, if you feel that you want God to pull you to true north, and I just want you to raise your hand just where you are. Is there anybody like? Father, thank you this morning. You can let your hand. We ask that you do something in the spirit, Father. We can't manufacture this in the flesh, and I know that, Father. But help us to not lose track of the evangelistic side of us. And I just pray that for a lot of people here, and maybe it's older people, a bit older, you've lost the joy of your salvation completely. Or you've just lost this passion. You struggle to keep the passion. You struggle to do what you know you should be doing. Because previously it came so automatic to you, but now it's a bit hard work. And I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you bless our church, you bless these people. Lord, we pray that in the Spirit you will come and do a work. In this week you will remind people, you'll have, when they have quiet times with you, as the Holy Spirit, you'll just talk to them and show them how precious your gift of salvation is to us. Father, there's so many of us that are almost controlled by fears, worldly fears, and they're very valid, but we're controlled by them. And I just pray against that control in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that it's no problem to complain every now and then. David did it all the time. But you should not be controlled by those fears and those die onkruid van die wereld. I just pray for that. And I pray that you will remove that from our lives. And now I just want to, if you're here this morning and you want us to pray that you will get back some of that passion, or that Christ must just open your ears so that you can hear his voice again. If you like that, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. Anybody that wants prayer in that area, come and stand here on my right hand side. Anybody? Come, youngsters.
Past few weeks had been very bad for me. I was going through stuff that even I couldn't understand. And throughout the week, or let's say rather past 3 days or so, God has just been laying to me, laying on my heart was what was preached today, just about how we're so entangled in our own needs, in what we don't have. And then he has just really focused my heart on him, really revealed to me that I need to put him, let him be the center of my heart, just as we sang when we started the worship. Yeah, and I'm just truly amazed about how what was preached today, just, it's so in line with what God has been telling me, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, let's close our eyes. I want some prayer helpers here in front, from everywhere. But I'll close off in prayer, and then we're going to pray for these people. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for that confirmation. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the light of our lives. You're the joy of our salvation, Father. And I just want to send everybody out here, Lord, with that excitement that comes with Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going to talk to us and just you're going to light some fires again in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Okay, you guys can wait.
Yes, Lord.